Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now in that same region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Earlier this week when we sat down for Bible study, one of our intrepid interpreters offered this observation of our gospel text for today. "Is this a misprint?" To which I replied, "No, but wait till you see the hymn of the day." You can look at your hymnal, your bulletin now, and see what it is if you want. So why are we reading a beloved Christmas text in the middle of June? With stories like the one in Luke 2, stories that we know practically by heart, it can be helpful from time to time to hear them out of their usual context. It has a way of rejiggering the imagination. It helps us to hear things a little differently. Usually, when we read this story, it conjures a peaceful scene. The shepherds quietly tending their flock by night. The beautiful glow and sweet singing of the angelic hosts. The Holy Family so serene and grace-filled, and beautiful Mary pondering it all in her heart. These are not wrong things to remember, but more often than not, this story carries with it those warm, peaceful feelings because, well, when the first verses we hear, the first verses of Luke 2, we read them on Christmas. Or if you're grew up in a house like mine, you read them around the supper table on Christmas Eve. Today, with our theme this month being the adventure of joy, we read these words in a different context. For starters, it's the beginning of summer. School's out. Vacations are planned. Summer sports are in full swing. The garden is going gangbusters. Heck, the CTK Golf Classic starts in just a few hours. There's lots of work to do and lots of fun to be had. I've heard it said once that nobody can do a warm, sunny day like Minnesotans, and ain't that the truth? We are blessedly far from being all snuggled up on a snowy holiday night. Our context as we read this nativity story is different than usual. And so is the context of our other readings this morning. Luke 2 hits a little different when we read it beside Miriam's dancing out of the Red Sea and Isaiah's description of the beautiful feet of the one carrying the good news. Luke 2 hits a little different, moves a little different when we read it along with these other pieces of Scripture. When we hear of that brave and joyful exodus of God's people out of slavery, singing and dancing on dry land in the middle of the Red Sea. When we hear the messenger's beautiful feet and the call to raise our voices to all who hear, it's hard to feel that warm and fuzzy feeling that we usually feel when we hear this tale of the shepherd's revelation and discovery and exclamation. These shepherds, out tending their flock by night, doing hard work, noisy, smelly, busy work. They find themselves blinded with light, blasted with the sound of angelic proclamation, and they are chomping at the bit to see this amazing foretold thing for themselves. And so, though not a sedentary group to begin with, these shepherds, well, they gotta move. As often happens when I am preparing a sermon, reading a biblical text, thinking about some of these things, a song pops into my head. And in this case, it's a song called "You Gotta Move." An old gospel tune from the African American tradition. In the 40s and in the 50s, such recordings by the Two Gospel Keys or Sister Rosetta Tharpe or the Blind Boys of Alabama recorded this as this jumpy, hopping, joy-filled gospel number. In the 60s, Sam Cooke took it and turned it into a sultry, swinging song about a straying woman. And then the Reverend Gary Davis and Mississippi Fred McDowell, after him, two bluesmen, if ever there were, turned it into a guitar-driven gut-bucket blues number. But the one version that lives deepest in my heart comes from the album Sticky Fingers, released in 1971 by the Rolling Stones. It goes something like this. You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. 'Cause when the Lord get ready, you got to move. You may be high, you may be low. You may be rich, child, you may be poor. But when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Those shepherds, they got to move. And move they do. Much like the constant motion of the Israelites led by their dancing prophetess Miriam, and much like the intrepid tongue of Isaiah calling his listeners to action, these shepherds just keep on moving, don't they? When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. They almost sound out of breath, don't they? God does amazing things. Our Holy Scriptures provides us example after example after example, and today's texts are no exception. And when we encounter these amazing stories, when we encounter God's amazing works in our own lives, we good Lutherans, we humble, upper Midwestern, mild-mannered white folk, well, we respond in our own way, don't we? I had a professor in seminary who said, it's a visual, so I got to show you. A professor in seminary who said, when Lutherans are asked to talk about God, we're very good at making the sign of the cross with our foot on the ground. We are people of thoughts, feelings, prayers. And certainly there are times when it is appropriate to respond to the works of God with silent, somber prayer, when we should bow down on our knees and fold our hands quietly and come to God in the privacy of our own hearts. Certainly our love for God and the joy God's love brings us can live in those silent spaces. But how often is that really true? How often does our God require our silence? How often does God call us to be still? You got to move, you got to move, you got to move, child, you got to move. 'Cause when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Wherever there are people in need of good news, do you simply send them your heartfelt thoughts and prayers? No. You gotta move. Whenever someone cries out in pain, seeking mercy and care, do you simply look on them with sympathetic eyes and shake your sad head? Let me hear it. No. You gotta move. When God intervenes in your life and spares you the tumult and tragedy you'd wholeheartedly expected to befall you, do you just look up, nod slightly, and say, thanks, buddy? No, you gotta move. You gotta move when the joy of God's love is brimming over inside your little Lutheran heart. Do you, with a twinkle in your eye, just smile a little smile? No, you gotta move. You gotta move into the places where people are oppressed and fight alongside them for justice. You gotta move. You gotta move into the lives of those who are in despair and bring them comfort and help. You gotta move. You gotta move through those moments of triumph and success to share that relief wherever you can. You gotta move. You gotta move on those beautiful feet to share that joy that God has given you with everyone you meet. You gotta move. 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 You gotta move, child. You gotta move. 'Cause when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. It's okay to feel feelings like joy, compassion, and sympathy. That's what God gave us a heart for. And it's okay to think supportive thoughts and to have courageous ideas. That's what God gave us a mind for. But sometimes, most times, in fact, our heart and our mind simply aren't enough to get the job done. That's what God gave us feet for. These beautiful, good news carrying feet These beautiful feet that dance the dance of liberation. These beautiful feet that traverse the globe, bringing peace and reconciliation to all. These beautiful feet that run as fast as they can to see what God has done for us, and then run even faster to tell everyone about it. These feet, your feet, your beautiful, beautiful feet, they gotta move. You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. 'Cause when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Amen. Let's get up and move our feet while we sing.